Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFK.
Thirty-four minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, Mike Brohard from CSURams.com and the Ram Wire Insider. Mike, my friend, after listening to Coach Addazio's press conference, I was going back listening this morning, and according to your article as well, it sounds like a shift is in store. We're going to really try to get back to that run game.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense when they were in preseason camp that they focused a lot on the pass game because it was the one area where they really felt like they needed to improve the most. And I, despite the loss, I think you saw that. Todd Senteo is the first one to tell you he has to hit that pass to Dante Wright, but he completed nearly 70% of his passes. He threw for 300 yards, which is a record, tied a record for an Addazio quarterback, and the passing game made strides. But in the process, the Rams made too many mistakes, especially on the offensive line, to have any kind of run game to balance out the offense or even make play action more effective when you're throwing the ball. If you're not running the ball, and for the majority of the game they were around 2 yards a carry, the other team isn't really concerned about you running the ball.
Yeah, and Mike, that's a great point, too, because, you know, you, on one end, you're happy to see Todd Senteo, okay, when pressed, and he is going to have to throw the ball, you look at those numbers, the missed pass to Dante Wright, but other than that, those numbers are good, and those will bode well down the road, but, you know, all we hear about, we heard a lot about Coach Addazio, and this is going to be a strong run game. Like you said, when you can get that run game going, especially for a coach like Addazio, it just sets up everything else for you.
Yeah, and they just did not have a run game. And the reasons why they didn't have a run game were as perplexing to him as anything else. He told us on Monday they had offensive linemen going the wrong way. They were going the wrong way away from which the play was called, and he has no idea why that was happening. And talking to Barry Wesley today, he has no excuse for why it happened. It was just they did not do what they were supposed to do, what they've been coached to do, what they expect themselves to do, and it wasn't good. He did. I mean, Addazio came out and said it wasn't the running backs. He felt David Bailey ran really strong and created some yards in places where he probably shouldn't have gotten some yards, because most of the time when he was hitting the line of scrimmage, he was being hit. There was very little push. Steve made the point of saying that, you know, when they had a hat on a hat, they had some push. There just didn't happen often enough. So this week, it's going to be focus on the run game, focus on the run game, focus on the run game, because they've got to get that fixed, because Vanderbilt coming in is, I know, they're in very much the same position as Colorado State, right? They lose to an FCS team at home. They were a big favorite. Colorado State wasn't. Colorado State has to establish something here, but again, Vanderbilt's going to try to establish something as well, and somebody's got to make sure it works, and Steve wants to make sure that his run game is the one thing that'll work.
Mike, going back to that offensive line thing, and you said it was kind of just this, nobody really knew why. Was it, did the players elaborate much more? Did they talk, was it miscommunication going one way or the other? Anything like that? Or was it just, I don't know. There's no answers for that one.
No, there isn't, because basically, without saying it, what they said was they made really stupid, fundamental mistakes that should never be happening to a team at this point of where they are. And you know, Steve made it a point Monday of saying, you know, they're virtually in year one in his program, which there's some truth to. But at this point, even, you should not be going the wrong way on a run play.
Yeah, well, and that was one of those positions we thought was going to be one of strength, and we'll see if they can get that corrected. On the other side, Mike, South Dakota State, they were able to run at will. I mean, they had some solid running backs coming into this game. We knew Isaiah Davis. We knew Pierre Strong Jr. They were going to be good. Strong was, every time he touched the ball, he got a first down. That defensive line, we've talked a lot about Colorado State's defensive line, and for the most part, it just wasn't there for him over the weekend.
No, and that was the bigger surprise than the offensive line. I mean, really, if you go back to last year, CSU averaged like barely over 3 yards a carry. That was something that they knew they still had to get better at. Okay, fine. So you still know they're working at that. But the defensive line, they gave up 108.5 yards a game rushing. That was supposed to be a strength. It was not. That's shocking. And their mistakes were just the same. they were not gap sound. Last year when they were gap sound, they stopped the run. This year they weren't, and it allowed them to run. And it also allowed South Dakota State to, even in third and long, have options. And we saw CSU's defense give up third and long a couple of times in that game, which was a bugaboo the year before. So the defense has some fixes that they have to make. And the one area where they thought they didn't have concerns, that defensive front, they have to go back and, I don't want to say start at square one, but you have to go back to the basics, and you have to make sure you're doing the most fundamental things right before the rest of it can work.
We're talking to Mike Brohard with CSURams.com and RamWire. Mike, how do you do that? You've covered a lot of Rams teams, a lot of football. And in fall camp, it's all we're talking about, us talking heads. You know, this D-line, okay, this offensive line, the trenches, we're going to be good. And you're feeling good about that in camp. And then you see what happened on Friday night, and it's not the case. What does that look like as far as going back? You said it, not going back to the drawing board. But, I mean, what can you take us any idea as far as what practice looks like? How do you address what you thought was going to be pretty solid, at least for a good chunk of camp?
You know, it's holding people accountable when mistakes are made on the field, and it's not brushing them aside. It's putting even more emphasis, you know, a bug in somebody's ear. As the line's going up, make sure you do this. This is what we're doing. And I even talked to Todd Santea. Hey, you're never going to throw a run block in your life. But what can you do to help the run game? You know, and that's what he's saying. It's asking the offensive line questions. Do you know what you're doing? It starts in the huddle. It's giving them a slap in the ass and saying, you can do this. Those types of things. It's an offensive line issue, obviously, from the game, but it's an offensive problem that they all have to address. And you were including the tight ends in that, too. I don't think anybody will tell you that as good of a blocker as Trey McBride is, that he even had a very good game in that standing. That Cam Butler did, that Brian Polende, they're all part of the solution, and they have to work as a group. But in some ways, when you look at it and you think, these are fundamental mistakes that we know that we shouldn't be making, you get the sense that they feel they're easier to correct. But even though they feel they're easier to correct, they're taking them rather seriously. And you can kind of feel it in the tone of practice today.
Yeah, that was my next question, was kind of what your sense was from both Coach Addazio's comments yesterday in the press conference and practice. Talk to us a little bit more about that tone. I mean, are we getting after? Are we getting nasty? Or is it just, hey, this is all business all day long?
It's all business. They're mad at themselves. So, like I asked Barry Wesley, I said, does practice feel like it's coming from a place of anger? And he said, yeah. Anger because we know that we're better than this and we didn't do it. So if you've got a little bit of nasty to you, you like that on your offensive line, you'd like that on your defensive line. But yeah, you could just sense people were there was a drive to practice. Not saying that there hasn't been, but the drive to practice is being focused on the first thing that you have to do before you get to the second thing. Because as they showed in Friday night's game, if you don't do that first thing, none of the rest of it's going to fall.
Well, now this team will try to turn the page, and it becomes, I mean, I know it's Vanderbilt, but it still sounds weird to say, wow, this is an extremely important game for the Rams to win against an SEC team. And again, as you said, Vanderbilt, it might be even worse than perhaps we thought going into the season. So the importance factor, it's at home. You know, you hope you can get a decent turnout again like you did Friday night and try to begin to right this ship.
Yeah, the student crowd was great. I mean, the atmosphere was wonderful. And even talking to some of the coaching staff that came from BC, it was better than what they'd seen. I mean, they loved the Ram Walk. They loved the energy. They loved what the student section brought. And so far from what I've heard, the student section might not come out in the same record numbers because it was a record number of students in the crowd that game, but it's getting pretty darn close. If you can get that energy, that's what they're hoping. But you've got to do well this game to keep them coming back, because you're looking at, after this game, it's 2 weeks on the road. You're playing a really good Toledo team. You're obviously playing a very good Iowa team. Then you have a bye week before bringing in the defending Mountain West champs and San Jose State. That's 3 weeks. You've got to hope that you can keep this group's attention and bring people back.
Yeah, and then
you got to capitalize on it by playing well, when you have a crowd in an atmosphere of that stature.
Yeah, and Mike, I think that's what's also, obviously a loss is a loss, that's frustrating, but when you're seeing it, okay, you got it, you got the fan support, they are excited, I mean, we're seeing it all over the country, and then to deliver that performance, I know that's got to be frustrating, and I tell you, we're going to find out real quickly what this Rams team's made of, because this is a big one. Like you said, that home schedule the rest of the way, it doesn't get any easier, so this game becomes extremely important on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, because you look at the Mountain West home games that CSU has, you know, it's San Jose State, it's Boise State, it's Air Force, and it's Nevada. Those are all really good teams. You've got to go ahead and do something. And I think the Mountain West, it's been interesting this year. I mean, San Jose State, another loss this week, but they still look pretty decent. Fresno State looks good. Utah State beats Washington State. This is going to be, it looks like it can be a relatively strong conference. Nevada looks great. This is going to be a dogfight, and Colorado State has to immediately, they have to show that they are capable of being resilient and rebound from what they showed on Friday night, come back 8 days later, and play much, much better.
Yeah, boy, you mentioned that Nevada game. That was a fun one to watch. There's exciting Mountain West teams throughout the area, and they were putting that on display. So, like you said, Mike, I mean, non-conference is interesting. You have some tough teams there, but then you get into that conference mode, it's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting season because you never know what's going to happen throughout. I mean, there's going to be teams that get hit by injuries and different things, and no, I think, unfortunately, you still are going to have to worry about the COVID thing for a while. Those things are going, the season will alter as it plays out. These next 3 weeks are really the key development weeks. You know, a team's supposed to make that big jump from week one to week two, but you expect them to continue to make jumps three and four as well, and then settle into who they actually are as an identity. And that's going to happen week three and week four on the road against really good teams.
Mike, I know you put together a piece about making the run game as a correction there. What else are you working on that we could perhaps check out throughout the course of the week?
Well, I thought it was interesting that what we did see is Thomas Ponzio has been a guy that's bounced around a while on this roster from offense to defense, back to offense, and then he got put on defense halfway through fall camp, preseason camp, and he was your starter at nickel. He's just a guy that's completely team-oriented. So, we'll take a look at that this week. And then I know Steve is also one that he's traditionally been a 60-40 run-to-pass guy. But I asked, I asked him if that might change a little bit with the improvements they made in the passing game. So I think we'll take a delve into that too.
All right, my friend, appreciate you. And hey, let's see if the tone can change a little bit. Let's get that win on Saturday night and talk about 1-1 next Tuesday.
That's how a tone will change. Is you have to play well and you need to win. So yeah, we'll find out what our conversation is going to be like next Tuesday.
Mike, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you soon. That's Mike Brohard with CSURams.com, Ram Wire. And that it is what it is right now. I mean, if you're panicking, you should be. If you're scared, worried, concerned about the Addazio era for CSU, you absolutely should be. But the luxury you have is that it's this first game. I mean, then that is it. That is it. That is the only Colfax, I'm digging, man. I got nothing for you. Ryan Stonehouse was good. Putting the ball. Scott Patchen looked like he was kind of getting a push. Trey McBride had over 100 yards, 13 catches. Those are nice, but those happen in any football game. Any football game. You're going to see a couple of positives. Are there real positives to take from that game? Not for me. That doesn't necessarily mean, it doesn't mean they can't get better. Teams get better all the time. But right now, based on that performance, can I say must win again? I mean, this is really, really must win. Otherwise, you lose your fan support for the rest of the season. You coming out after that bye week to watch CSU and San Jose State? I don't know, Rams fans, you tell me. All right, we'll come back, finish up. I'll give you my game of the week. We'll load that up, closing thoughts, and we'll send it away. Again, for kind of a frustrating day of optimism around the Bears. I'm surprised at the Hooligans, though. You guys are, it's negative Nancy day, I guess, here on the whole show. We'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.